hearing is conditional use number 2436, Tony and Charletta Floyd.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for a business for the storage and hauling of dirt and gravel and the storage of work equipment and trucks to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 2.31 acres more or less. The property is lying on the northeast side of Herschel Davis Road, which is approximately 0.42 mile northeast of Oak Orchard Road, which is Route 5. The 911 address is 32404 Herschel Davis Road, Millsborough, and the tax parcel ID is District 234. Map 29, parcel 274.02. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the staff analysis. We have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan. We have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response. And I would note that we received 64 written responses, and we've also received a petition with 500 signatures. My understanding is, Mr. Chairman, that that petition supersedes the other petition that's in the record, which has 489 signatures, so don't add those two numbers together. Okay. So, thank you.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Floyd, you would come up to the podium, please. And if you would press that center button, see if we can make that, there we go, we got the green light. Okay, and if you would introduce yourselves, just put your name in the record for me, if you would.
My name is Tony Floyd.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I am Charlita Speaks Floyd.
Okay. All right, then. Well, you may have the floor. You heard what our director read into the record on your behalf. Do you have anything you would like to add?
Well, we are here, representing Tony. We are here with a conditional use of land that we own. He is using it for his dump truck business. Tony has been in business since 1999, and we were fortunate enough to obtained this property to use for his business. Tony has 6 dump trucks. He has work equipment. And he has a shop, which he uses to work on the trucks. His business hours are 6:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. And occasionally, there may be a breakdown where he may have to stay overtime to make sure the trucks are prepared for the morning. Saturday hours are 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock. Sunday, we go to church, so there won't be any operation on Sunday. We knows that we have been having a lot of, wasn't really prepared for this. We had a lot of people coming back in the property taking pictures and photographs of the property, not knowing, you know, who they were, what they were doing it for. But as I sit here now, we realize that there's something that needs to take place.
Just curious, did these people enter your property to take these photographs?
Yes, they are.
Did they have your permission to
do that? No, they were trespassing. We haven't given anyone permission to take any pictures back there on the property.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Tony started the business in 1999. We had been fortunate enough to have become local deliverers for major companies as well as individual homeowners to run the business and do like small deliveries of stones as well as large corporations of carrying stones, dirt, and running the business. This is pretty much what he's been doing for the last 25 years. It's worked for us. We've been fortunate enough to obtain this property, and we would like to use this property not for a home, but for our business use.
Okay. I'll tell you what, why don't we see, is there anything else you would like to say? We'll see if the commissioners have any questions for you.
That's pretty much what it is. We're using it for the business.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just ask some questions maybe beforehand.
Okay. Yeah.
Just so we can get things in the record. You've been in business for 25 years. How long has it been in business on this site?
So we've come here probably, it's been probably almost 2 years.
Okay, all right.
Almost 2 years.
And then on the site, it sounds like you have a trucking company that hauls stone and things like that.
Yes.
Is there stone storage on the site?
Yes. So we have storage of some dirt and some stones. Because sometimes we, you know, have to deliver out too, so we bring in and out.
Okay. Is there any, like, crushing operations or anything like that that happens, you know, like crushing in concrete or anything like that on the site?
There's no crushing.
Okay. Crushing. And same thing with mulching, like so you're not shredding trees or anything like that?
It's just hauling from the major companies to store and just take back out to deliver.
Okay. Okay. That's all the question. Well, let me ask one more. Just, we usually ask in these situations, sort of, if you could describe the properties that, like, are immediately around this site. You know?
So immediately around the site is Air Property. So we are a part of probably almost a 30-acre Air Property, as his mother is, and we have the parcel of that property that we were able to obtain. So next to the property is a relative, which is to the left. And the other parcel is another property that belongs to Tony and I. Didn't really think we had any neighbors. We do have another neighbor that's around the corner. But before anybody came, our cousin was already there on that middle property. And that middle property is a relative of ours. So when we came, we developed the roadway to have in and out. We did a lot. We did a lot. In the area to make it usable for us.
Okay, and do those neighbors, do they have any objection to it? They're family, so.
No, well, no, all of them are not families.
Oh, okay.
So just the one besides the family, but okay. The other neighbors, of course not, because we took a dirt road and made it into a pavement road.
Okay.
So that was to help, I mean, with the winter time, that helped everybody.
Okay.
So,
well,
yeah, we did this.
The roadway, sort of where does it go and, you
know. The roadway starts off of, Oak Orchard Road, and you turn a left on Herschel Davis Road. So that roadway, so you have to go all the way back. You have to go all the way back a dirt road to get there. So that's why I was surprised that people would actually drive all the way back there to see what's going on, because you have to drive a great deal to get back there.
And so can you see the trucking operations from Oak Orchard Road?
You cannot.
Okay.
You cannot.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to get some of that foundation information in there.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, Mr. Mears.
I have a few questions to continue building on the record. You talked about doing maintenance on your vehicles. Is that done within a garage?
He has a garage,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. And are oil changes done and oil stored and evacuated from the property properly?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How many employees do you have? Do they park on your property and then drive your trucks?
Three employees of mine, they take the trucks home.
Okay. When there's hauling, we typically ask, is there any waste brought back to the site and stored or for disposal?
No.
Okay. One more. Would you like a sign?
Like a what?
A sign.
A sign.
Business sign.
No.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Collins?
I think the only questions that I have look like they're answered by the layout of the site, probably. But you know, I imagine there's a fair amount of dust. I actually live next to a facility similar to this, but there's no wooded screening around it. There's just the privacy fence. So there's a fair amount of dust that, you know, I and neighbors have to deal with. I'm imagining that's dealt with the trees that are there. And, like, you aren't – there's not as much dust for the residential neighbors that are – say across the wooded line.
But it's not any dust because the roadway is milling, so I put millings all the way through the whole road.
Okay, so and I'm dust. Referring to, like, if you're dumping stone out, there's usually a lot of dust that comes out from that. And same for mulch or dirt.
Well, that's...
At least in my experience.
Well let me share. The stones that he does have are closer up towards the front of the building, so they're not behind the building or beside the building.
So unlikely to disturb neighbors with dust
or
debris that might find its way in their yards. I think that's it for me.
Okay. Mr. Butler?
I have a couple questions. So we have some letters of protest, obviously. So 6:30 in the morning, I'm sure a lot of folks are retired and want to sleep. If this was considered To be approved, would you be willing to change your hours of operation to be considerate to your neighbors?
Okay, understood. But, I mean, how much? So everything starts early.
Yeah, I understand.
Everything starts early for the truckers.
Yes.
If that yard opens up at 6:30, they need to be there. So if we could, if anything later, it wouldn't be before 7, after at least 7.
So I'm pretty familiar.
I say that because they have to travel from where they live, mm-hmm, to pick up the truck and then go to the job site. And if they start at 7 o'clock, if they pick up the truck at 7 o'clock, then they're already behind and late.
Well, I'm pretty familiar with the business that you're in. So what I'm saying is, like, when you load trucks, it's noisy. When I load trucks, it's noisy. I mean, is it something that you could load at night before those hours of operation end and have the trucks ready to go in the morning?
Well, that makes sense. But, however, he doesn't always load from there in the morning. Sometimes I have to go to somewhere else to be loaded.
Yes, I mean, of course.
So, of course, if it has to be loaded the night before, it would probably be perfect. It would be even better. And they probably could start later. But
yeah,
I would. It's just hard to say at, you know, a later time to start.
Right.
Would be efficient for.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, I guess the point I'm making is like, you know, I know, you know, Phil Dirt comes from George and Lynch and so on and so on. You would load from there and then take it to wherever you need to be. I'm just saying, like, when you're loading on site, that truck could be loaded the night before.
Absolutely.
And the truck could be started and then go out the driveway, and then your day would start.
Absolutely.
I mean, you might have an hour round trip. And by that time, it's 8 or 9 o'clock, time the driver gets back. Maybe he's got to get fuel or so far. I'm just trying to look at the protest here that you have and trying to maybe offer a resolve to make the public feel better about the situation.
Well, I understand that, and you know, I agree. If you're retired and you do want to rest in,
right.
However,
you have to realize you're asking for a conditional use.
Yes.
It's not C1.
Understood.
Excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen, you're all going to get your chance to speak. If you need to confer with each other, please get up and go out in the lobby and do it, please. Thank you.
I understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I understand because at one point the truck was in my yard.
Right.
So I know.
I understand.
Okay.
Believe me, I understand you're saying.
So I understand.
I'm just trying to add
some resolve. And we want to do what is right as well. We don't want to have neighbors that are not happy with us because things are not going.
Well, I guess what I'm just trying to say is maybe we can make some people feel better and give you the chance, the opportunity to operate your business.
Well, I think that's doable.
I mean, I'll be completely honest with you. I started my business on a conditional use, and I was standing right where you were standing.
Well.
And I didn't ask for my conditional use. I started my business, and eventually I had to stand in front of this council here to ask for my conditional use, and they could easily said no, and I'd be out of business, or I'd have to find another piece of property. So all I'm trying to do is maybe add some reassurance to your neighbors. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yes.
And everything's give and take in this world.
Yes.
So that's all I'm trying to say.
Okay.
No disrespect at all.
Understood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You guys have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Okay. White House, any questions?
None for me, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Robertson.
No, none at this point. Thanks.
Anybody? I just have one or two. I just want to make sure I understand how everything transpired. You say you purchased this property a couple of years ago?
Well, actually it was inherited.
It was inherited.
We inherited.
Okay. So it was family property.
Yes.
And you started operating on this property about 2 years ago?
Well, we didn't really operate it. We kind of developed it. We tried to, you know, just get things cleared out. So we didn't really bring the business there until we didn't have anywhere to store our trucks at.
Right.
So that's when we came in.
And you were already in business at this time in another location?
Yes.
course, you know you're here because it's zoned for general residential.
Yes.
And the activity that is happening on that property isn't permitted under that zone. How did you become aware of that?
Well, I came in to get a conditional use. Well, no, actually, we came in to get a conditional use of the property.
How did you know to do that?
How did I know to do that? Someone told me that we would have to do that in order to park our trucks on our property. So with...
Were there any violation or any notices or violations given by the county? Did you...
So we did obtain a violation for, I think, you burned something? He burned something. He was burning something.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't remember a violation for... Okay. Being Whitehouse, on the property.
Excuse me just a second. Mr. Whitehouse, is there any history on this property as far as violations
There is, and I did ask the chief constable to join in case there were any history questions on the property. To summarize, the county did receive a complaint that there was a business taking place on the property. We investigated in approximately August of last year, and a notice of violation was issued in October of last year, and that triggered the application to be submitted.
Okay. And since that time, you've continued to operate your business, and you were caught up in our long lead time. I know it took a long time to get here.
Yes.
And, I just wanted to be clear on how it all came about. And with that, if you would take a seat nearby.
Just one point, if I could make, just because we have a lot of folks here who may not be familiar with the process. I don't want there to be any assumptions or incorrect assumptions, I guess, that based on what you just described, that that's somehow unique or improper. That happens frequently in Sussex County when there is a violation or notice of violation, and our constables go out and talk to folks and, you know, try to explain the situation, and the idea is to one way or another bring a property into compliance. And one way to do that would be to stop altogether, of course. The other way, which the county has acknowledged and accepts, is that you apply for whatever it is that you need under the zoning code, in this case, a conditional use. So, you know, I didn't want anybody to assume that somehow was an incorrect course of action by these people, because that happens frequently in Sussex County. As long as they are making diligent efforts to get the proper zoning, they may or may not get it from the Planning and Zoning Commission in the form of recommendation and county council. They may, but as long as they're diligently pursuing that, the violations held in abeyance during that time.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure, yeah. You and then Mr.
The facility you were previously operating from, do you still possess that? Were you renting?
So, no, we were using it.
Go back to that.
We were using it from a gentleman, and he was deceased, and when his children took over the property, we had to move.
Thank you.
Father, you got something else?
I do have one last one. So obviously, once again, I touched base on the protest. And this decision could go either way, in your favor or not in your favor. But if it made a difference to go into your favor, would you be willing to change those hours of operation?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I just wanted that for the record, that you would be willing to do that for your neighbors.
Yes.
And I know it's not what you want to hear, and I know it's not really what you like, but we all have to live together as people. Unfortunately, you know, I got a lot of stipulations put on myself, and I learned to live with them, and we succeeded on, and we started from a very small business, and we were able to move on. So it was actually a blessing to me that we did what we did. But I was just wanted to put on the record that you are willing to work with your neighbors.
Yes, we are.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
Okay. Anything else, Commission? All right, then. Now, if you would be so kind as to take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. It looks like there might be one or two.
And I would just remind everybody, I've heard there may be a spokesperson, you know, under the rules, if there is a spokesperson, if whoever that person is who wants to speak first, you know, to kind of keep these things on track,
right,
if they could identify themselves and come forward.
Right. The order is that we'll call for anyone who wishes to speak in favor first, and then in opposition, starting with spokespeople, and then when they're done, if there's anyone else who likes to speak, they'll be given the opportunity to do so. All right, so is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2436, Tony and Charletta Floyd? Okay, is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2436? Is there a spokesman? Yes, sir. Come on up. Give us your name. You may have the floor. Thank you.
My name is Bob Verdugo.
Sir, if you could push that button.
Yeah,
there we go.
Yeah, and if you could restate your name, too.
Hi, my name again is Bob Verdugo. And if I could, I'm going to go to the next slide. If there's.
There should be a mouse up there you can use. There you go.
There we go. And basically, I'm going to speak on behalf of some of the residents of Sussex County. I will have another gentleman who is speaking as a spokesperson as well that will speak later. We'll make some introductory comments. We'll talk about our opposition. We'll review some of the timelines that we noticed and some of the activities with regard to our interaction with the Planning and Zoning Commission. I want to make sure that the commission understands the business operations, and then we've cobbled together some things for the commission to consider before they make their final recommendations and impact statements. I'll start. I am a resident of Sussex County. I live in the Peninsula Lakes community. I am also a small business owner, right? I've been in business since 2007. And I do respect business people and their ability to, you know, run their business and grow their business. We're just concerned about its location and the type of business in a residential area. I'm also a management consultant, and I was officially notified of this meeting, this hearing. I was one of 12 people that were officially notified by mail, so that you know that. I have spoken to nearly all of the other individuals who were notified by mail. Just quick background, because I don't know if anyone has been out to Peninsula Lakes, but you know, sort of why we're there. It's a coastal community. It's an active community. It is not age restricted.
What coast is it on?
Excuse me?
That it was a coastal community?
It's part of the coastal community of Sussex County. It's on Indian River Bay,
okay.
Right next to Indian River Bay. As we looked at it, and myself in particular, in moving to Sussex County, it's sort of for, you know, the lifestyle and activities that happen here. As I'm approaching retirement, we looked for a place that would be peaceful and the ability to enjoy our years with our family. You know, we kind of consider our home a very special place for my children to come to and my 4.75 grandchildren who come out and visit us and spend time in our yards. You know, there's a lot of history in this county and just a lot of things to enjoy. And I wanted to make sure that you know, you all know that there are to be built 660 residences. As was mentioned, we do have a petition opposing, of which 500 Sussex County residents have signed in opposition for specific reasons that I'll get into. We and the folks in that petition do oppose continual use 2436 and the continuation of the business use of the land in a general residential district. And what we're talking about is dirt, stone, gravel, right? But it's all construction supply related businesses, right? And so these are things that y'all need to know. When we talk about dump trucks, what we're talking about is tri-axle dump trucks, when fully loaded, can weigh up to 92,000 pounds. We're talking about a lot of heavy equipment that's used on the property to run their business, and it runs from early in the morning, as was stated, until into the evening, and when repairs are being done, into late in the evening. And it has been known to run 7 days a week, including holidays like Thanksgiving. We object to Sussex County recommending or granting continuous use for the application. The use of this property is not supported by the comprehensive plan, nor any plan where the Penn Lake subdivision was reviewed or approved by this council. And it's imperative that the Planning and Zoning Commission reviews the impact on residents and properties when considering the application and its recommendation. At that note, what I'd like to do is I would like to just ask the board of directors from Penn Lakes to just stand so that you can acknowledge that they're here. Would any members of the board of directors stand, please, to be recognized? The board of directors issued a communication in opposition. The other thing I'd like to ask is any resident of Sussex County who is in opposition of this continuous use application, please stand so that the commission can understand that this is not just an individual neighbor issue, this is a community neighbor issue. Thank you very much. I also wanted the commission to know that we have spoken to the owners of other properties nearby, properties that are adjacent to this conditional use application, that are under contract for purchase for residential use and building. The owner is vehemently opposed. He lives in the Midwest and did not know about this meeting until this morning when I spoke with him. So he wanted to let you know that he is vehemently in objection. He is under contract. It is 60 acres.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to move on because that we're not going to take testimony from somebody about what somebody else might think or oppose.
Okay, thank you.
If he's not on the record, we're not going
to. Thank you. With regard to timelines, we talked about when they bought it recently. They did build a structure on the property in 2001 before the 2021, before the site plan was submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission. It is a 2,760 square foot garage structure. No one in the neighborhood was informed that that was going to happen. October 13th, there was a subdivision, minor subdivision plan put forward.
Just for a second, was there a building permit issued for that?
I'm checking.
I understand now. There was.
Okay.
But I don't know what it said. Yeah.
There's no requirement for him to inform his neighbors right. that he's building a garage. Right. So that's not a material fact.
That's fine. I'm one thing to know.
Let's move on.
Just, I do need you to know, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a zoning person. I am a resident of the neighborhood. They talked about land clearing. They have cleared the land. They have had large burning of debris where DENREC, the state police, and the Indian River Fire Company have had to come out. To visit the site. We were provided a minor subdivision plan on January 5th that indicated that there were two lots plus a residual property for residential use. The conclusion that was provided by Planning and Zoning was that the site work was and the events that we were observing as a result of the cutting down of trees in the area and clearing the land was for single family homes, which are permitted by right. On April 4th, the conditional use application was submitted for the storage of work equipment and trucks. In the third quarter, the business use of operations commenced. In September or August, as you indicated, the county constable was contacted and went out. The chief constable was informed on September 29th, came out to the site, issued a violation that they were operating outside of the CU application, which they then revised. DelDOT completed their review. DelDOT's review concluded based on the number of potential drive-bys, their recommendation, but they did not look into the facts of what type of equipment was operating and how close that equipment was operating on the streets on Oak Orchard Road and on Herschel Davis Road next to neighbors that live there. And then we were notified. So again, you know, you have this. This is on your website that, you know, they're seeking conditional use for construction supply business on medium or next to medium density residential in a general residential zone. This is the parcel of land, and again, the conclusion from the Planning and Zoning Commission to the community, who, you know, did not know what was going on, was that this we were observing work for the potential for single family homes on these lots, which would be a 3/4 acre and depending on site septic. I will note on the minor subdivision plan that it is discussing residential use. In fact, if you look at item number 13 and 14, the present use of this property was for residential. The site plan proposed use for this property is residential. So that's what we're working on and what we're talking about here. And that's what the neighbors in the knew about what was going on as of January of this year. If you look at this, and one of the things that you had in your exhibits online is other conditional use locations within a 1 mile radius or a 2 mile area from one to the other. If you look at that and you look at the number of conditional uses, there in 52 years there were 22 properties approved. In the last 25 years there were only 10 properties approved for conditional use. None of them were for a commercial industrial type business. They were for a recreational area for children, boat storage, a propane tank in the peninsula that they need, townhouses, a mini storage unit, an elevated water tower, and the American Legion put in for carnival and circus activity. So again, we don't have any types of commercial businesses like this in the area. Again, this was what you showed in terms of what the site looks like, where the sight lines are based on the subdivision plan and based on the aerial view of that. I want you to recognize right here when looking at the property, and this is Peninsula Lakes, from the, this is the western, looking east, the property lines go around here, and if you look at where the property is, they're running their business, excuse me, well into the next residential area. If you look at the homes that, and the roadways that are on here, this is Herschel Davis Road. This is the road that leads into this property onto Oak Orchard Road. These vehicles that, you know, fully loaded coming in or going out are really excessive in weight. They're running up within 50 feet or so of a bunch of residences here and also along Oak Orchard Road. And none of those individuals were individually notified. Maybe if they read the paper, they would have seen the communications that was posted. If you look at this, we're talking about materials being stored. The materials are being stored all over the property. All these little dimples are big elevated piles from major trucks right up against this area here. I don't know if we have you can see it there, right up in this area here and throughout. They're storing trucks up in this area as well as throughout the property. In addition to trucks, they have a storage container that is on property. The vehicles that they're using, as we said, is large types of construction vehicles.
Excuse me, sir. How did you get these photographs?
Got these photographs from a neighboring property. with a zoom lens on a camera with approval from the neighbors to take photographs from their yards onto others.
Okay.
The aerial photographs were taken by drone.
Right.
In the airspace. Some of these photographs were taken from the Penn Lakes community on their nature walking path.
Is any of this, or the dirt piles, is any of that visible from the Penn Lakes community?
Yes, it is, sir.
If I were standing in the Penn Lakes
community. Yes, it is, and I'll show you some of that.
Those. Do you have those? I'd like to see those.
I will show you those in a second. So this is a shaker machine. Basically what it does is it shakes rocks and gets all the dirt out. These are all diesel equipments, and the trucks stand idling for a long time before they start up. Just to give you an idea of how close the residences are to the neighboring property, all of these residences can see the property right through the trees now that all the trees were removed. And just if there's sound, and there may not be, we give you a sense of what this sounds like. But you can imagine when a dump truck unloads what the sound of that crashing door is. You can imagine when a bucket loader full of stones drops material into a dump truck and then shakes itself, right? We hear that all day long, right?
Mr. Chairman, I might just turn the sound on for, can you just give me one moment?
Okay.
And we can restart.
And this is only a brief 20-second snippet.
Oh, I understand. I'm familiar with the types of operations and the noise that you're talking
right.
about, and it's noisy.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. If you're familiar with it, you understand. And again, I don't need to belabor it. So this is Emily Gutt. Emily Gutt, this photograph was taken from the nature path on Peninsula Lakes property. All of the trees have been knocked down. You can see where their material is. This is a stormwater runoff with no barriers or anything to protect the natural runoff of our stormwater, which is running into Indian Bay. There is concern about the potential contamination that could exist, you know, in the event that there were things.
Are you saying that this is, just for clarification, this is the outfall, Emily Gutt, the outfall for stormwater for your development?
It was there before our development,
right.
But it is a stormwater runoff for Peninsula Lakes,
okay.
Right? And this is the waterway running in the materials that have been dumped adjacent to it. And I don't know how to get back out of that. Okay, thanks. But we're concerned about potential contamination that could exist. I mean, things like this are on the property, right? There's 400-gallon fuel tanks and 250-gallon fuel tanks. There's 50-gallon containers. There's leftover oil containers and oil filters that are laying on the property, as well as other debris and items that, you know, we don't know what's in there. And there is concern. We've spoken to the Sussex Conservation District. While they have not been given an application for it, they have expressed their concern, and I'll leave it at that till they evaluate. For you to consider is this industry is operating on land zoned for residential use. We believe that it's detrimentally affecting the health and welfare of the Penn Lakes community and its residents. We've talked about retirees. There's retirees. There's people that are ill. There's people that have emphysema or chronic respiratory diseases. There's people that have other conditions that this affects, and my colleague Gary Weeks will speak to that. The storage and hauling of dirt and gravel and stone is a zoning permitted under Chapter 115 Zoning Article 14 LI2 Light Industrial District, not under Agricultural Residential. So this type of operation is already approved for a zoning where it should fit, not where it is currently being operating, without formal approval of the conditional use. The conditional use does not apply as it relates to the article of conditional uses, which has the purpose of providing for certain uses which cannot be well adjusted to their environment, in particular locations where full protection is offered to the surrounding properties by rigid application of the district regulations. This commercial enterprise encompasses large areas where bare soil are being exposed to contaminants and erosion, allowing runoff to Emily Gut, which feeds to the Indian River Bay. There's insufficient distance and mitigation strategies to prevent substantial and unwarranted noise, dirt, particulates, and combustion fumes, pollution from permeating into the neighboring properties. This appears to be in contradiction to the state code of regulations on air quality and control of noise. While Sussex County may not have a noise ordinance, the state does have codes with regard to that, and this, so that's why we brought the noise portion to this. The use of our nature trail and that of the residents of Penn Lakes and the wooded common area and wildlife preservation in the residential outdoor space is being negated and diminished due to the activities on this adjacent property, and it contradicts the original intent and the natural buffer envisioned by this commission and by the Penn Lakes development plan, which was approved previously. We would ask that the commission order a proper assessment of the impact on residences near Oak Orchard Road, Herschel Davis Road, and the feeder roads in there, as it has not been done to address the ongoing heavy trucks hauling stone and gravel. When purchasing homes, and many of the folks, or all of the folks in here, are purchasing, you know, significant homes of you know, several hundred thousand to $1 million, many of us look at the zoning regulations. I've moved many times. I always look at zoning and surrounding properties because I don't want a highway or a commercial operation in my backyard. So I looked into it here. I spent a lot of money on a home. In fact, if I look at the neighbors that are immediately around that have been notified, they have spent over $300,000 in just outdoor living space, which now they're not enjoying because of the activities that are going on behind us. So I just want you to know that there is a substantial amount of commitment and why there's so many people that are out here. Providing a conditional use is a fundamental and substantial change in property use, which we believe and are getting more information on, is negatively affecting the property values of the neighboring land. And that is, you know, a specific problem for the welfare of our neighbors and why we moved here. I thank you for your time. I'm going to turn this over to Gary Weeks, who'll make an impact statement, unless you have any questions specifically for me.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Whitehouse, would you review our policy for notification by mail?
Sure. So we identify all the owners of record. So that's the owner of record, not necessarily the 911 address, for all the adjacent properties that are within 200 feet of the site perimeter. We then send postcard notifications out to those properties. So
thank you very much.
Thank you.
200 feet.
200 feet. Right, right. Well, that's, you said law. People didn't get letters. I wanted to clarify why. I've got a couple.
No, I
have a couple questions for you.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I asked. Well, I'm sorry, Mr.
Okay,
Mayor.
I'm just trying to get clarification for you.
I
why people who didn't get notified weren't notified. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. How do you know that DelDOT didn't consider the vehicles being used?
Because I read the DelDOT report, and it talked about just vehicle traffic of trucks.
So that means that they didn't consider all types of vehicles?
I don't know that for a fact.
Okay, thank you. What type of contaminants do you see there?
I
need to know that.
I don't know what the contaminants are. I see the containers.
So alleged contaminants.
Alleged.
Okay, that's
potential
all I have.
Is what I said.
Okay, well, when we're presented comments, we want to make sure it's backed up by professional fact or evidence. So thank you. And I'm not debating that there might not be. It's just a question
for
the record.
No, potential contaminants.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else?
I have a question. So you quoted 92,000 gross weight on dump trucks. Tandem triaxle by code of Delaware is 42,000 pounds. That's with the third axle dropped. Also, do you see a remedy that these people, Mr. Floyd, Mrs. Floyd, that could continue to operate their operation if they were willing to work with the community? Or is it just a hard no at this point?
The community believes that it's a hard no at this point. We haven't seen a proposal that would suggest otherwise to reduce the potential of any annoyance of the neighborhood.
So, hypothetically speaking, if there was, and I asked Mr. and Mrs. Floyd if they would be willing to work with the community, and they said yes. So, and I'll go back to Mr. Mears to the alleged chemicals on site.
Potential.
This would probably go back to a question to Mr. Floyd at a later date. I don't know if we can do that or not. There's trucks running up and down the road every day with 42,000 pounds of weight on them, plus the ones that built your house in development. So I'm just trying to figure out, I'm a small business owner just as yourself, and I like to see, you know, people succeed.
So do I.
And if we could come to a conclusion that everybody would be happy and they'd be willing to work with that, and you guys would be happy with that. I understand tailgate smack when they drop dirt. There's a little bit different ways around it that it can't be as loud. You know, do you foresee any remedy for them to continue to operate without shutting them down?
At this point, I can't say that I do without consideration of all of the evidence. And again, I'm not an attorney, so I can't speak to that, nor have I consulted with, you know, the residents of the communities that are here or the potential new residents that are intending to move into the 60-acre lot right next door. That's all I can say with regard to that. So I don't know. This type of business belongs in an industrial zoned property, right? That's what the regulations or the codes or whatever, you know, they're called actually state. They don't state they should be in there. They state this is a type of business that is approved for this use. So we're saying that this business should now be within residential area, and that these owners that are selling land, and we know, you know, they're selling it for reasons, and the development and what the county has done in their long-term plan, you know, is not trying to diminish the values of the homeowners, right? I want the applicants to be very successful in their business, right? And our community does as well. But they don't think they should be doing that business in our backyard. Additionally, if they are successful, and we do see their advertisements, we see their advertisements on Facebook, we see their advertisements on John J. Williams Roadway. He's trying to grow his business, as you were saying you like to do, sir, you know, and as I like to do with my business. But I don't do it at the expense of the neighbors by, you know, and I don't take this the wrong way, but it's almost like a workaround, right? Conditional use means I don't have to go for a rezoning.
Well, conditional use, we have the opportunity to put restrictions on that.
Conditional use is a very useful tool, much more so than a change of zone. A change of zone is a very broad tool that once the zone is changed, anything that's permitted in a conditional use, the only thing that would be permitted outside of what's permitted in a GR would be the activities that are stated in that specific ordinance. The other thing that it allows us to do, which is why you're hearing so much about work hours and noise and so on, is it allows us to place very specific conditions on any kind of approval and gives us the ability to revoke the approval if those conditions are violated. So it's a very useful tool.
Understood.
But I understand what you're saying.
In retirement.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, even getting up at 7 in the morning, we get woken up every morning by, you know, the startup of the engines and then subsequently the loading of the vehicles. And again, I used to drive a dump truck, right? That was my job when I was going to school and right out of school, right? I know what those vehicles do. And it's great work. And in this specific environment in Sussex County and in the state of Delaware, there's tremendous opportunity for construction support services. But again, I'd ask this commission to really look at what the conditional use code guidance guidelines were put in place for, what, you know, the county plan is, and how does this specific business fit on that location, on that map? Again, look at all of the conditional uses that have been approved in the last 52 years. You're not going to find anything like this.
All right, sir.
Thank you so much for your time. I really do appreciate it.
You do a very good job for not being an attorney.
Well, thank you.
You do.
You do.
You do.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you do. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, just one last question.
Before we get there, Mr. Butler, one thing I want to state. Okay. I don't want there to be any misunderstandings from the public or the commission. This isn't a negotiation on conditions.
Just get ready to say that.
You know, the commission gets an opportunity if they want to act favorably, make a recommendation to county council to unilaterally recommend conditions. We're not going to get into a back and forth between anybody over what somebody will live with or not live with or whatever. So it's just the conditions that the commission decides to impose, whatever they should decide to do, if they decide to recommend favorably on it. So,
I'm going to refer to you for our council here. Is what's the chief number one complaint?
That's not an appropriate legal question. I mean, that's more on the record that you all need to decide. So,
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Yep.
Mr.
Thank you.
Weeks.
Mr. Weeks.
Hello. I'm on. My name is Gary Weeks. I'm a resident of Peninsula Lakes. I live on Piping Plover Drive, but my backyard is adjacent to our common area where our walking trail is, which is adjacent to the applicant's property. So my neighbors and I have been able to enjoy our properties for several years without any outside disturbances. That all changed last spring of 2023. First, the chainsaws were out as they were clear cutting the land. According to the Hearing Center of Excellence, chainsaws emit 115 to 120 decibels. The other equipment used included front end loaders, triple axle dump trucks, which have already been discussed, I know, all using diesel engines that emit 114 decibels. Additionally, according to John Deere, the front end loader in question has a backup alarm that's 112 decibels. For perspective, is if you recall the band Deep Purple back in the day, thank you, they were listed in the Guinness Book of World Records for the loudest concert ever at 107.
I'm sorry, would you say that again?
I'm sorry,
were you missed at the, that one. You were at the concert, weren't you? but they entered the Guinness Book of World Records at 117 decibels. So it's the equivalent of having, you know, Deep Purple play behind your house. Only time will tell if the clear cutting will affect Emily's gut, that the stream was discussed earlier. Next, we are subjected to the ash and smoke from the fires that were talked about earlier. The wind brought them right into our neighborhood. There were large bonfires that kept going until the fire department had to get involved. We weren't able to enjoy our property. Homeowners had to stay indoors. I have a neighbor across the street with a physical issues. They couldn't even come outside. I had neighbors up the road a bit, you know, a half a mile away. They could smell it. But we literally had ash raining down on our houses.
That's not allowed.
Well, and the fire department took care of that.
Yep.
As time went on, we realized that the adjacent land was not being clear-cut to build homes. Despite the zoning, it was being cleared to store stone, gravel, sand, and other materials. Forgive my repetition on some of this. I apologize. You know, and also, they're going to be taken in and out of the property all hours of the day. So 114 decibel engines, diesel engines, 112 decibel backup cameras, or alarms, excuse me, and nearly 20-ton pieces of equipment, they started to dominate our lives. Most days we're awakened before the sun's up by the tailgate slamming on the dump trucks. The backup alarms are piercing the air. And it continues, you know, throughout the day. I'm forced to turn up the television, the volume on my television, with all of the doors and windows closed. That's indoors. My neighbor has a camera in his backyard. That camera now has, he would give me regular updates saying, look at the deer and look at the turkeys. That hasn't happened in months. You know, it's, our regular sightings of the wildlife have just about disappeared. I mean, this isn't a coincidence. We had deer bedding right behind the house. Turkeys would come and feed at my neighbor's bird feeder, free meal. They would walk right up, and we don't see that anymore. They've all been driven out. The community trails walk, you know, runs beside the applicant's property. We regularly hear comments from them. They're asking us, well, you know, how do you deal with that? How can this be happening? You know, they ask how we're enjoying our patios and our decks. We can't, you know. Even our pets have been affected. I've been told by several residents that their dogs and their cats are now hesitant to even go outside. They're shaking when they come in. It's happening over and over. Being forced to endure this has taken a toll on us. We don't want to move. You know, we don't want to sell our houses. But if we did, who's going to buy them? You know, as was mentioned earlier, it's, as for almost all of us, it's a major investment in your life. You know, who's going to buy our house? It's going to start a domino effect. Even if we lose 10% of the value, it just it dominoes throughout the neighborhood. I mean, I don't think it's outrageous to think this could run into millions of dollars of loss when we would go to sell our properties. And we don't want to. There's going to be 660 homes in our development at some point. You know, that's a lot of lost you know, asset. So, you know, also, who wants to buy a house where the dust particles and the diesel engine pollution have invaded? You know, as we saw with the ash and the smoke last spring, it's going to come to our neighborhood. It was showering down on us. We would walk outside to a fog. So, I fear for the future. The applicant seems to be a pretty darn good businessman. He's got a fleet of trucks. I see his advertising. Yeah, I have no doubt. I'm a small business owner. I'm a little jealous. The guy is really successful. Are we going to get to the point of having a dozen dump trucks and earth-moving equipment going throughout the property all day? I mean, I can see the lights from the shop at night. They're shining through the woods, you know, what's there. So, you know, what are we going to be breathing in? You know, what happens with the rest of the wildlife? The home values will plummet. You know, we've learned that a potential homeowner or, you know, home buyer is now holding off making a decision until this noise issue is resolved. So I just wanted to add in, State of Delaware Administrative Code states that a noise disturbance means any sound which endangers or injures the safety or health of humans or animals, disturbs a reasonable person of normal sensitivities, or C, jeopardizes the value and erodes the integrity of the environment. Not to mention the particulates from diesel engines. It's right next door. It's just too much. We in Peninsula Lakes are being subjected to a noise disturbance well beyond what is reasonable. And we face the possibility of future health issues. So I thank you for your time. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. I've worked with Mr. Verdugo, you know, closely with this.
What was that code again?
The state code? I don't have the number. My apologies.
Okay.
There's an ABC. I will get that.
Prior presentation, which was the noise section.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in Title VII.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
Anyone else? All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, are there any...